Salvi laces it into right center field, down into the gap, a base hit. Here comes Melendez, racing around third. No throw home. Ball game over. The game's first run is the only one the Royals need. El Capitan walks it off in the bottom of the 10th.
How about it, baby? How about it? I just hear noise.
Oh, that's my Jay Binkley song that I just made playing. Yep. We'll debut that. Can we do that next segment, Mac? Can we debut the Jay Binkley song? And it got a fist pump from Dusty because it worked out well.
It does.
It's good.
You'll enjoy it. You'll hear it every time he joins the show now at 6:45.
Right. So, Jay, your song is coming up around 8:20 this morning.
The audio you heard there was the walk-off single yesterday from Salvador Perez, who gave MJ Melendez his only highlight of the season as he scored the game-winning run.
Do you know MJ Melendez has 4 hits on the year, and like Randall Grichuk has 3 hits as a Royal?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I'm just making sure everybody knows that. Yep. I didn't realize that Merv was that bad.
It's not good.
4 hits? Maybe. I know he's been gone for a while, but I mean, my God, he had a month and a half here.
I mean, maybe he'll be Andrew Vaughn. Maybe he'll get dealt somewhere else and become the actual guy that he was supposed to
maybe,
be.
Yeah. Yeah, maybe.
Because right now, Milwaukee has won the trade deadline with Andrew Vaughn on their team. If you've seen what he's done lately, it's pretty good. He just had to get somewhere else because, you know, sometimes it's better to get elsewhere and change your place.
But, yeah. Any trades this morning happening? Or
because I've been monitoring it. Nothing so far. Just the fact that Bob Nightingale said earlier, which I brought up, the Cardinals, who are wide open for business, have several teams, including the Astros, the Phillies, expressing interest in Lars Nootbaar, Alec Burleson, and Brendan Donovan, three of their players that have been quite successful this year, I believe. At least they've destroyed the Royals. But
see, the problem with the Royals is I want them to be involved in every one of these trades. Like, I'm thinking to myself, as you read these names, why aren't the Royals involved in that? And and the problem with the Royals is, and baseball knows this, while they are willing to add, you know, payroll, as we talked about, these teams still want these prospects back in return, right? People still value the prospects. It's a fake currency. It's crypto, right? And so people think these prospects are going to be good. The problem is, when you look at the Royals as an organization, there may be 8 prospects that have a legit shot, 9 prospects that have a legit shot of going up to the big league level. So they don't have as many as other organizations do. And so when you get into these bidding wars and people are like, where are the Royals in all of this? Well, you got to look at their minor league system and realize they may not have the collateral, if you will, to go out there and be part of a lot of these conversations for a lot of these players. I still think with a game under 500, you're still hanging on and got an opportunity. They need to be big adders today. They need a bat and they need a starting pitcher. I think that's what the Royals need to do today.
From what I've seen so far, the last trade happened about midnight, and that was the Seattle Mariners were in agreement to deal the acquired third baseman Eugenio Suarez from the Diamondbacks. So now Seattle's lineup gets deeper. Their pitching staff is already good. Look out for Seattle this postseason. You know, Julio Rodriguez, Suarez, Cal Raleigh. I mean, they could be a dangerous team, especially with the way they have that pitching staff.
If they get into the postseason, you had told me as we were going to break, they're what, tied for the final wild card spot with Texas, who seemingly now is in kind of sell mode, you said, right?
Yeah, like, it's just because they have like financial issues. Yeah. They don't know if, look, it's just weird because when you see your team in that same kind of window with the Royals, who are a game under 500, 3 games out of the wild card, have a chance to kind of limp themselves into the playoffs. Because what we said last night is just keep winning. It doesn't matter how you win at this point. If you're still on that whole thing, like, we can't score runs, we only scored one yesterday, I don't care. You won the game.
You won the game.
You're in the time of the season where you just have to win, and you're winning. They've now won 3 of 4 series since they've been after the All-Star break, right? They beat Cleveland 2 out of 3. They beat the Cubs 2 out of 3. They beat the Braves 2 out of 3.
Right.
And unfortunately, they didn't beat the Marlins 2 out of 3. They lost that series. But just keep winning, because I'm telling you right now, this gauntlet that is going to be this road trip is your season. Toronto, all these teams that are playing really, really good baseball, this is where your season goes. And it's in these next 9 games on the road, and then you come back against Washington next week, and I believe. But this is,
this is it right here.
Right
this is big. Yeah.
I mean, as easy or as hard as it is for me to say, this is it. This is where, so if they make a move today, their flight leaves at 5:30 to go to Toronto. They're going to stay grounded until the trade deadline is concluded at 5 p.m. today, Central Time. We'll see, right? And if they make a move, then we'll see where they go from here. But they played in literally every single series they've won except for one, and that was the one in Miami, which they, wish you would have won that one.
Yeah.
But right now, 7-5 since the All-Star game, scoring over 5 runs a game. Your pitching staff yesterday was an opener followed by a 9 or 8 other bullpen arms. Shut them out, 1 in 10 innings. just keep winning.
Yeah, that's all that matters. And really, that's all that matters at the beginning part of the season, too. Mm-hmm. Every win you get is a win closer to the postseason. And then you're not sitting here trying to, you know, scuffle at the end in the final third of the season, piecemeal series together to try to sneak into the playoffs and leapfrog all these teams. And so you win some of these games early and you're not in this situation. But they're playing good baseball right now. I think they're kind of playing inspired baseball mm-hmm. right now, quite honestly. And, you know, to go out there yesterday and to roll out the bullpen the way that they did, you know, it's not like this is an easy task. It's easier to go into a game and do what Joey Wentz did yesterday, which, by the way, tip of the cap to the local kid for dominating yesterday. What a great performance by him yesterday. It's easier to do that in a game than it is to do what the Royals did yesterday. What the Royals did yesterday, that's probably their most impressive win of the season because right. you relied on 9 individuals to pitch for you yesterday. You ever try to do a group project at work and there's always that one jerk who's a slacker or that group project in college who that one person never wants to do anything? And like 3 people really do a great job, and then the 4th person just kind of hangs on. That's a bullpen game. That's a group project yesterday, and you have to expect everybody to bring their A game. Mm-hmm. And every cat brought their freaking A game yesterday out of that bullpen. Sam Long, let's give that guy a little bit of credit. Mm-hmm. Reminds me of a bartender on Cheers. He looks like Sam Malone. That's the type of guy, same name. But like that guy was awesome yesterday. Like the entire bullpen was fantastic yesterday. When was the last time in your life, no matter where it is, no matter what you do, where you had 9 people do their job to that kind of effective level at the same time? It hardly ever happens.
Yeah.
And then you finally get that run when you need it the most. That's why yesterday's win to me is so impressive, because it wasn't just relying on one starter who went out there and dominated like Joey Wentz did. You had to rely on 9 guys yesterday, and literally every single one of them did their job. If one of them had a hiccup yesterday, you lose that game, you lose the series, and instead of being 1 under, you're 3 under, and maybe we're having a different conversation today. But man, to get 9 people to do what they did yesterday, beautiful by the Royals yesterday.
Yeah, and then of course it's your captain to put it on the back and knock in the run. I mean, it was almost immediate. Man on second, got out of the top of the 10th because, what was it, Stevez got that line drive that just a blink of an eye got it. It's like, holy cow, that ball was a needle right to his glove.
And that was luck. Let's not talk about skill in that one, right?
Hey, look what I found.
Because even he knew what it was.
It's like the bad athlete on your little league team where there's a line drive down to third and he just reaches his glove out. He's like, oh, I got it.
Yeah.
And you're like, yes, you did.
Yay,
thank you.
Congratulations, Jason. Yeah,
I will say the 2 things that stick out the most for me with these Royals is that Bobby Witt Jr. has been the guy that everybody's been waiting for to be that stud. I mean, I think yesterday was a tough day at the plate, but it was a tough day to play for everybody. Hovering around that 290 average, still being able to get the ball in play when it matters, at least when you need Bobby Witt Jr. to be Bobby Witt Jr. Mikel Garcia is still doing what he's doing. And then the other thing, too, is that you're playing better. You're playing more consistently to what you need to play at. You're getting 3, 4, 5 runs a game and giving up 2, 3, 4 runs. You're winning 1 run games, but you're scoring runs. Like I said, they were averaging 5.8 runs a game since the All-Star break, giving up 5. Kind of a little bit of a shift of a switch because the pitching had been so electric. But look, there's still the possibility that Cole Reagans comes back. Lugo's got nothing to worry about if he's going anywhere. He's staying. Mm-hmm. Waka's still your savvy vet. And you've got Noah Cameron that we sometimes tend to forget about. That you spearhead that with a little bit more offense and just keep winning against these teams, you're going to be just fine. You're only 1 game under 500 and 3 games out of the wild.
You know, last year we talked about the innings for Lugo and Waka. Oh my God, we need to limit their innings. And the Athletic we talked about yesterday talked about Noah Cameron now getting up there in innings and limiting his innings. Mm-hmm. They didn't limit the innings last year for their guys. And so Noah Cameron, I mean, I hate to break the news to you. Like, I know you're about 20 innings short of what your career high is in the course of a season. You're going to have to power through that. I mean, they need you. And I think also that's why it's imperative to go out and get another starting pitcher today, because you can never have too much pitching. Look at the way that this thing has dissipated in the last 2 weeks from a pitching standpoint for the Royals, right? We went into, you know, June essentially having like, okay, we got a really good rotation. We don't have to worry about that. The Reagans gets hurt. Bubich gets hurt. Lorenzen gets hurt. You know, Rich Hill is no longer with the organization. That's 4 starters right there that are gone. 4 guys that have been starters for you this year are no longer part of your rotation. So you need to go out there. I still think and add an arm. I still think you need to add a starting pitcher today, and I still think you need to add a bat today. Let's go. Let's make this run. Let's go all in. Let's invest as much as we possibly can into getting better today. And if nothing happens today and they don't get better as a team, it's going to be very difficult, I think, for them to make it into the postseason, because I think eventually fatigue does catch up to that rotation. That's why I think it's important to add an arm today. Very important, in my opinion, to add a pitcher today.
Yeah, you're just in that point where, like, you used to have, like, the luxury of the trade deadline to where now you're like, well, now we need that luxury because we don't necessarily have it. I'm still interested to see what the conversation is around Cole Reagans, I'm interested to see what they say his evaluation has been, because we're still waiting. We're still starting to see if he'll be back this year. If you bring him back, you get your ace, and that's basically a trade deadline acquisition.
Sure. But how long is it going to take for him to get back? Is he going to be able to get back? We know Bubic is not coming back
this year, right?
He's done. So let's not even worry about Chris Bubic and all the people like, well, maybe if... No, we're not worried about Chris Bubic. Stop talking about him. It'll do your mental health a lot better. Mm. But Cole Reagans is that guy. Once he's healthy, then you start those rehab starts, right? Then you're down in the minor leagues and you're doing all that kind of stuff. When can he be back up here? Will it be too late, if you will, for Cole Reagans to make an impact on this team later in the season? So I still think the arm is the number one need right now for this organization. They've added a couple of decent enough major league bats and Adam Frazier and Randall Grichuk, and they've made impacts already, you know, kind of with their back, giving you that veteran presence in the lineup. I think I'm leaning towards arm today, man.
No doubt about it. So yesterday, again, like I said, the whole season you can have complaints, but now you're at the point where it doesn't matter how you win. If it's ugly, if you win 9-8 and your pitcher,
who cares?
It doesn't matter, because that's where you're at right now in the season. That's what you've got to get done in this season. It's just continue to make sure that you're in a spot, because now there's only two teams ahead of you.
Yeah.
And I mean, it's Texas and I believe it's Cleveland. Mm-hmm. And if you can get past Cleveland, who just for some reason keeps hanging around, and you took 2 out of 3 from them, now you get the off day and then you got to go play the best team in baseball.
It's going to be interesting to see what happens in the West now too, because, you know, as Seattle is adding reinforcements, you mentioned Texas, we don't know what they're really doing, but you got Houston in the mix as well. They've kind of come back down. They talked about adding, what is it, Correa back into the mix yesterday. That was the big hot trade rumor. He's like, I really like Minnesota. I don't have a reason to go back to Houston. I kind of like where I am right now. So I think today's going to be wild, man. I haven't seen any rumors yet. A lot of these guys in the front office are getting their workouts in and, you know, eating breakfast and whatnot. And probably around 9:30, we'll start to hear a lot of these rumors start to percolate and pick up. And, you know, a lot of stuff is going to be flying around. I hope this is a fun day. I really do. And a fun day to me is rumor after rumor. Rumor after rumor, and you're going and you're losing your mind and you can't follow it all. I hope that's today for Major League Baseball. That's kind of the pattern that they've been on with their sport, right? Today needs to be a big day from a trade standpoint for them.